Okay, here we go. The Ben and Mega Show.
He's about to get crazy and wild. Stay for a while. Don't touch your radio dial.
The Ben and Mega Show.
Kicking it back, sports talk. Listen to that and stay tuned for some giggles and laughs. Go.
Man, it's not easy being me. When I was born, a doctor told my mother I did all I could, but he pulled through anyway.
Welcome to the Ben and Mikey Show.
That guy was so funny. That is a classic comedian, Myron Cohen.
Myron Cohen.
Actually, was it Rodney Dangerfield, right?
Yeah.
You know who the last guy to talk to him, except for his wife before he died? Lenny Clark.
Really?
Yeah, Lenny Clark was the last guy to talk to Rodney, except for his wife, before he died. We should get Lenny on and talk about that. Should we get Lenny on?
Why not?
Sure. I love Lenny Clark. Yeah. He makes me laugh. He makes me laugh every time he talks.
He's a good man. He's a busy guy too.
This is the Planet Mikey podcast. Podcast. episode. What is it? Two farty.
This would be two farty.
Episode two farty. Don't you know? It's two farty. Oh, welcome.
There it is. Thank you.
It's going to be a gas. This.
Hey, speaking of that, there's this.
And now another exciting adventure with Mike Adams, Lyft driver.
So pineapple made you go to the bathroom
5 times in one day. And I don't do that. I usually just go once a day.
I see. 5 number 2s?
Yeah. And they're all normal, except the last one was just a little bit soft.
Just a little soft. Just like my brain.
Ocean spray, cran pineapple juice.
Yep.
And I drank 2 big bottles of that stuff, right? And I got rid of my cough.
Oh, it's cured a cough?
It's good for a cough, too. Pineapple is good for a cough.
I love pineapple juice. I like tropical drinks. Coconut, pineapple, bananas. I like all that stuff.
If you like pineapple, you should try the Ocean Spray Korean pineapple juice.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
All right. So long as I don't go to the bathroom 5 times after I drink it.
No, I don't think so. Juice.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
That lady was unbelievable. She gets in a car and she starts telling me her life story, including her, you know, her bodily functions. She 5 times in one day, and they were all normal, except the last one was kind of soft. Like, this is what I need to hear from this. She had 4 teeth.
Yeah.
Honestly, she looked like she could floss with...
Yeah, so I listening to that voice, I figured you were either in Brookline or downtown Worcester.
Nope. I was in Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Why?
I dropped somebody off there, and then the thing went off, and I picked up another rider, and that was that lady. Right. And I took her to Walmart.
Did you go shopping with her?
No, she was going to get groceries, probably more pineapples. Mm. You know, I don't even know her name. I don't remember her name or anything. I know your name. It's Bill Smith.
Thank you.
And you're Ben Kitchen.
Yeah, that's true.
And only one of you should be ashamed of what I just said. That's Ben Kitchen.
That's
why?
Ben, yeah.
Why? Okay. Well, Ben, you know, we all like you, but you have a problem with attendance. You're truant. You're truant. So what we've decided is, Bill and I, behind your back,
we decided
that we're going to give you... a cancellation fee next time you do that.
Oh.
And so we're going to take your $9 that you get per show
and
split it so that Bill and I get an extra $4.50.
Four and a half, yeah.
Yeah. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Fair's fair. That's what Ben's way of giving back.
Jeez, these kids today.
I know. Just put it all $9 into free parking.
These kids today. These kids today. Huh, Smitty?
Oh,
huh?
Oh, man, those kids.
Jeez, these kids today. Yeah. These modern kids.
Oh, boy.
We're brought to you by Pro Automotive. They are fabulous. And by the way, my wife's Mazda is going in because it's a little, when you get to higher speeds, 40, 50 miles an hour, it gets noisy. It's like, I don't know, there's something going on, maybe a realignment. I should ask Jason Russo, but instead I'm just going to bring it in and say, it's noisy. Could you guys fix it for me?
Jason would know.
Well, of course he would know.
Think he can fix my
horn?
He's
a master certified mechanic. He's like top of the heap when it comes to Mechanicsville.
ASE, Certified Technic. That's big stuff.
Pro Automotive has 3 locations, both two in Webster, one in Dudley. ProAutomotive.com. I'm sorry, I always do that. I leave the MA off. ProAutomotiveMA.com, because there's a Pro Automotive somewhere else, like in Utah. So you use MA, and you know it's the ones in Massachusetts, in Webster and Dudley.
You think he can fix my horn?
I know he can. Why don't we call him next week and we'll put him on the show and you can tell him what
I'll
your
ask
problem
him.
Is.
You, what do you suppose the problem would be, Jason?
Your horn doesn't blow. Yeah. At your age, that's not a surprise. Ha, ha, ha.
Turn to the left, it beeps. Turn to the right, it beeps. Straight ahead, no.
You want to get your car fixed right the first time, call Pro Automotive or go to proautomotivema.com and they'll take good care of you. We're also sponsored by absolutely the best Italian restaurant in Melrose, Massachusetts. Mm. And in nearby environs, too. Giacomo's, well, a reputation. 454 Main Street, Melrose. Where some of the guests of the Planet Mikey podcast will dine out. Compliments of Richie and the great folks at Giacomo's in Melrose. So am I sounding too announcerish today?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, you're sounding like,
a douche.
One of those guys.
A douche. Don't forget to exercise your right for a $5 discount on any of my grandma's world-famous coffee cakes. They ship them right to whoever you want to send them to. So you say, okay, I forgot my Uncle Ned's birthday. I'm going to send him a cake.
Another big display down at Sudbury Farms.
You go to mygrandma.com, and you put in the cake you want to the address you want, and you use the promo code Mikey5, save $5 off. And by the way, no one will be disappointed in the product.
That's right.
I've never met any person that didn't say, that's the best coffee cake I've ever had, by
same
far.
Yep.
It's moist. Not like the ones you get in the store left over in a bakery aisle. No, these are fresh, right off the assembly line, shipped to your house. They stay fresh like that for like 10 days because they're right baked fresh.
But have you noticed they don't last 10 days?
No, because they're gone in 2 days.
You eat them.
You leave them anywhere, and someone will eat the whole darn thing.
Yep,
I've had a half of a coffee cake myself one time.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Did you do yours in one bite like I did?
No. But I did shove a lot in there. Just it was great.
We've had some people responding to the, you can tell us what you think of the podcast. If you think it's fabulous, you can rate it on
Apple Podcasts?
You can rate it on any site. And you can also tell us it's great on an email at planetmikeypodcast@gmail.com. And
what,
some people
what is that
do
again?
That.
Give me that one more time.
That's Planet Mikey.
You okay?
Ben coughed.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Go ahead.
He didn't turn his head.
Take two.
You didn't squeeze.
Planet Mikey Podcast at planetmikeypodcast@gmail.com.
.com. So they can write anything they want to write. Hate mail, love mail, whatever.
And you know what? If it's a compliment, we'll say thank you. If it's something bad, you someone say something bad, we won't give a shit.
But we'll read it.
Remember that movie with Jim, where Steve Martin was he wrote greeting cards for a living. He was the guy that wrote the inside of a greeting card.
Yeah.
And his boss calls him. They were out having lunch, and he said, you know, your work's been terrible. He says, what do you mean my work's been terrible? Steve Martin says to him. He goes, well, for example, he pulls out a card. He goes, so it's your birthday. Who gives a shit? And he read it to Steve Martin. And I'm thinking, that's the kind of job I'd love to have.
Oh, that'd be great.
The guy who writes.
You'd be good at that.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you have any examples you're working on?
No, I'm going to save them. Are you kidding me? They're going to go in my folder, the folder that I used to apply for that job, because I need a new job. I'm really sick and freaking tired of Lyft driving. You know why?
Why?
Here's what happened the other day. You know, there's a thing called scheduled rides.
On the road again.
Okay, harmony time. I can hear it.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
There's a thing called scheduled rides where Like, I wake up in the morning and I got nothing to do. I look at the Lyft app and it says schedule rides. And you press the buttons and it shows you which rides are near you. And you can just say, all right, I'll claim that ride. And then I'll go get that person at that time. And, you know, maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's not too far. So I've been doing that. A couple times it got messed up. But this time, the other day, I got really pissed off. Okay? Because this woman named Jen.
Jen.
She wanted a ride, and it was the night before. It was before I went to bed. What am I going to do in the morning? Okay, I saw it. It's a $15 ride, but it happens to be close to where I live. Mm-hmm. I'll give this girl a ride, Jen. And maybe she'll send me some nude selfies afterwards. No. So I get up. It says, and it gives you a warning. It says, be online. Don't forget 15 minutes early so you can be on time for this ride. It tells you, okay. So I get up. I get in the car. I'm driving to this ride. And normally you're on the way to the ride and it comes up on the screen and then it says accept the ride that you scheduled. So you just hit accept and it's all done. So I'm on the way to Milford, Massachusetts. I'm driving and it had just warned me, you know, go, head for your ride. And then all of a sudden it disappears. after I've already driven 10 miles and it's gone.
Now,
and so she had, she must have canceled.
Oh, the customer can do that. I see.
I guess. Mm. And who else would, really? So, yeah, so she canceled. But I was already on the way, and I got there. I said, wait a minute. How come this thing's gone? I'm at the destination, really. I'm within a block of her house. And it was gone. So I said, well, I drove out all the way out here, you know, 15-minute ride for nothing.
Did you sit in the driveway? Hey, Jen!
I should have gone,
Jen!
But, you know, so I went on the help of the very piss-poor Lyft assistance line they give you. It's where you text them, and they text you back. Some moron texts you back.
It's like the guy that writes the insides of greeting cards?
I said, why wouldn't someone get compensated if they've already arrived at the ride that you scheduled or that they scheduled? And so I did all the work, and someone else got the money if there was any involved. It wasn't me. So, and it's not about the money because, you know, I don't live for $15. If I did, I could be like a assistant manager at a fast food restaurant.
Do you think Jen was, she knew who you were? Do you think maybe that was it?
Well, no, because I pressed the booking thing the night before. She had all morning to, you mean to see a picture and say, I don't want this guy picking me up.
Could
he's
be.
Creepy.
Yeah. Somebody say, oh, my God, it's him.
But the fact is that what pissed me off more than that was that Lyft said, well, you know, what are you gonna do?
Kind of shit out of luck, bud.
So I'm sick and tired of them.
So what kind of job are you looking for then? We got some options here. Are we applying? What are we doing?
You know, if you could do anything and you knew you wouldn't fail, what kind of a job would you want?
I'd be a pimp. No, I'd be a male stripper, but only at my house. I don't really have any prospects for a new job, really. Seriously. You know what I could do?
What would you like
to do? I'm qualified. I could be a chauffeur, limousine driver.
Nah.
Would I have to wear a tie?
Yeah, and a hat.
Then I'm not doing it.
Well, you'd be a great game show host.
That would be. I always thought that would be my calling.
You'd be a great.
All right, let's see what's behind door number five, Bobby. Tell him what she won, Ned.
Yep.
Ned goes, it's a new car. I could do both.
We watch the match game on the Buzzer Network. And Peter Marshall. Who's the other guy? Gene Rayburn.
Yes.
You could do that job.
I could.
Yeah.
Especially if I had one of those long, spindly microphones that you could
hold. That's what he's
got. You hold it at your waist and the thing's right in front of your face.
So should we just create our own game show?
We should.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
You know what? Let's do that.
Okay.
I have some ideas. And I also have, by the way, if there's anybody out there that has money and wants to help bankroll.
Not that listens to this show.
Help bankroll a can't-miss reality TV show that travels across America. I'm telling you right now, I have an idea for the greatest possible reality show. But I need people that have some money. I can't just go out and buy a Winnebago. I can't.
You could rent one.
I could win a Winnebago in a contest.
So here's what we do. We create a game show. We give away a Winnebago. And then, oop, some chicanery happens. And now
and
the
I
host
win.
Wins.
Yes. Mikey won the Winnebago.
I got all the answers right. Today is August 30th. Not only is it my sister's birthday, but it's Ted Williams' 105th birthday.
Ted
Williams would have been 105 were he to still be alive today. And I did a little case study on him because I'm permanently pissed off about how he got screwed by the New York writers and the media
and his son
on three different MVP votes. Now, Ted, as it was, won. Did he win three or two?
Two.
He won two. Ted won two MVPs. There was one year where he won the Triple Crown and didn't win it.
42.
I mean, what the hell is that? How do you win a Triple Crown leading the league in home runs, RBIs, and batting average and not win the MVP?
And who did he lose to?
That time?
Yep.
Joe Gordon.
Who batted 322, 18 home runs, drove in 103, compared to Ted Williams leading the league with 36 home runs, leading the league with 137 RBI, leading the league with a 356 batting average. And leading the league in walks, leading the league in on-base percentage, leading the league in sluggings and OPS.
Right. Why did Joe Gordon get it? Because he's a New York Yankee. Okay, now it's clear in a court of law, they would say, no, an arbitration case, they'd say, you lose, Joe Gordon. I'm sorry, you didn't have it close to the year Ted Williams had. He won the fucking Triple Crown, Joe. Mm-hmm. But the votes came in because all the Yankee writers hated Ted Williams. He's a Red Sox because he was, you know, ornery. And they gave it to Joe Gordon. Now,
the year before, 1941.
The year before, it was the epic 1941 where Joe DiMaggio had the all-time record 56-game hitting streak, and Ted Williams, the last man to hit 400, hit 406. Now, who had a better year? Well, it's a close call this time. They were relatively close in runs batted in. Ted Williams had 7 more home runs. He scored 13 more runs than DiMaggio did. But who's a Yankee?
And he hit 49 points higher in batting average. I mean, DiMaggio had a great year. 357, 30 home runs, led the league in RBI with 125. But the other guy hit 406.
I know. And so I think clearly there's a case for Ted Williams getting ripped off. But you know what that year was amazing about Joe DiMaggio? Eddie Pellegrino told me this. He had 541 at-bats with all those home runs, 30 home runs, power hitter. Struck out 13 times.
Yeah, that's insane.
That is the most unbelievable stat. Now, the last time Ted could have been an MVP was, let's go back to Ted Williams here. Where's his MVP?
Hold on. This is 47.
Oh, so 47.
He came in second, okay. And this is the second time he came in second while winning the Triple Crown.
And Joe DiMaggio was the guy that got the votes again. Now, Joe DiMaggio hit 315, Ted 343. Runs scored 97 for Joe, 125 for Ted. Driven in, 97 for Joe. He didn't even drive 100 runs in. He was in. And then Ted had 114. Second Triple Crown for him, right?
Yep.
He got screwed again. He lost to Joe DiMaggio. So he lost 2 MVPs to Joe DiMaggio, 3 to the Yankees, and every single time he had the stats that would have given him the MVP.
Williams' WAR was 9.5. DiMaggio's was 4.7.
There you go. Now, the thing about Ted, too, that people forget is that he's the all-time leading in the history of... I like that, actually.
I got
it. It gives me kind of a Fenway feeling. Ted Williams is the all-time... You know what on-base percentage is, Smitty? I'm asking him because I know he doesn't know.
322.
No. Do you know what OBP means?
It's the on-base percentage.
Very good.
Just a wild guess.
On-base percentage is the percentage of times you come up to the plate with a bat in your hand and you get on base.
And that's it.
The record, major league record, is .482 for a career. 48.2% of the time he got on first base at least, if not a home run or a triple or a double. So no one in history of baseball has gotten on base more than Ted Williams. So my question to you is, what would he have done if he didn't play, if he didn't miss 3 years in his absolute prime for World War II? He missed 3 complete seasons in the 40s. At age 24, he went away, came back at 27. He missed those years. And I did the statistics.
And he missed a year and a half.
Later.
In the early 50s.
For Korea, yeah.
So he misses basically 4.5 seasons for
war. I'm just using these stats from a 3-year basis just to be clean about this whole thing.
Right.
He would have been... First in runs, he would have had more in the history of baseball, more than Ricky Henderson if he'd played those 3 years, because he averaged 130 runs scored a year back then.
Yep.
He would have been first in RBIs, more than Hank Aaron if he had played those 3 years. He would have had 3,200 hits. Instead, he only had 2,600 because he missed all those seasons. He would have been basically the lifetime leader in every single major league category, but instead... He puts his ass on the line and fights in World War II as a fighter pilot for 3 years. And then they bring him back in the 50s as a Korean War fighter pilot. Wow. And what does he do? He shoots down a plane that's about to kill John Glenn, the astronaut. He was the wingman. And Ted Williams had such great eyes. He sees trouble, shoots down the plane, saves the life of later congressman, Ohio congressman, and famous astronaut John Glenn.
I never heard that story.
Absolutely true.
That's great.
And as
Mike was there.
And he
was the other wingman.
And he was also a pretty darn good fisherman. The story goes.
Not a great baseball manager.
Why? He did all right. He helped
just
the
wasn't great.
He helped the Senators learn how to hit.
My dad said he swore a lot.
He swore all the time. In fact, his daughter will tell you that. He had combination platters of swear words. You know, he didn't just call a guy a fucking idiot. He called him a mother cocksucker. They 5 in a row, you know. Kriff said he was very profane, which in an entertaining fashion. I told you the story about American Sportsman, right?
Yes.
That's the greatest.
Tell it again.
Tell it again. Just the short version.
Somebody may just be hearing this for the first time.
Or Bill may have forgotten already.
That's right. I've already forgotten. Tell me.
It's Kurt Gowdy. They're in a boat with the cameraman, and they're doing American Sportsman on film. And Ted's fishing. He says, I'm the best fucking fisherman that ever walked this earth, you know, as he typically would say about himself. And the cameraman goes, well, what about Jesus? And Ted pauses for a second. He goes, well, you got to go back pretty far. I mean, he wouldn't give an inch to anybody, you know. But was he a hero? Absolutely. You know, and was he difficult? Absolutely. But most geniuses are, you know, in one way or another. Another birthday good boy today, I got to mention him because he's another Hall of Famer, and I had the honor of meeting him as well. Frank Robinson.
Frank
Robinson. What's he famous for, Ben? Let's quiz Ben on Frank Robinson.
I think still to this day the only MVP in both the American and National League.
Correct. Cincinnati Reds and Orioles.
Triple crown. And in, first in black manager?
Yes. I think he pretty much aced the test.
All right.
But I'll tell you a locker room story. He's famous for something else. Yes, he is. I mean, it's... You're in a locker room and you're doing your job and you're not easily distracted because you're a heterosexual person. But when you see, you go, oh, my God, there's a Hall of Famer. He was playing cards with some of the other Orioles players. He was managing the Orioles. And he's sitting on a folding chair. And I swear to God, his unit was almost hitting the floor. Frank Robinson, everybody. His birthday today, he would have been, I think, 85. I think. I'm sorry, 88. Something like that.
That's nice.
I love baseball. And I like, you know what? I don't like the new players. They piss me off because they make too much money and I can't relate to any of them. But the old players, I love the old players because they did it for less money. They played harder. They played with more injuries. They weren't pussies like
their
some of these.
Their heart was in the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he played for the Dodgers.
Very late. Yeah. How late?
Just one season. 72.
Yeah, that was late. He was Cleveland player manager at the end of his career.
Yeah.
All right, so now we have a podcast here, and I'm a very organized podcaster. Unlike, you know, I never did show prep at EEI. I mean, you might have heard about that.
I did hear about that from so many people who turns out they were wrong.
Mutt was just telling us the other day, right, Bill?
Yeah, like you talked to him. The thing is, and Mutt used to always talk about that. I'd say, well, you do show prep every day for a sports talk show that you have every day. Mm. You listen to what happened last night. You watched the game.
You're in constant show prep mode.
You listen to the
radio
station all day. You know what's going on there. Wait, what? So what do I got to do? Go study the stats, Mutt?
Yeah.
You piece of...
Oh, sorry, Mutt.
Jeez, I'm sorry, Mutt.
You are so not sorry.
We brought up his name, and then Mikey went nuts.
Just an asshole.
Mutt may be more prepared for whatever crap he throws on the air, but I'm a better newsman, and I have news for you. News for you. News for you. And now the news. Massachusetts Public Health Commissioner was able to donate blood for the first time Tuesday, celebrating new rules that open blood donation to gay and bisexual men.
Ooh.
DPH Commissioner Robbie Goldstein was joined by his friend Rochelle Walensky. Remember her from the Centers of Disease
Control?
The CDC,
the liar, yeah.
The pair spent years fighting to change the Food and Drug Administration's policy that had been in effect since the AIDS crisis. Goldstein said, this is really a proud moment. You know, I don't know if he talks like that, but I want to give back, and now I finally can. Well, he's giving his blood.
They wanted to know today. I gave blood today.
You did.
One of the questions they asked was if I had anal sex recently, if I had the HIV.
That's in high school.
Oh, yeah. They asked me if I had HIV. And that,
define recently.
Yeah,
and,
right.
If I had sex with more than one person in the last week or two.
Right.
And they talked about oral sex transmitting some terrible disease.
Now, they apparently have gotten a way to find out about the blood and all that stuff. You've seen the ads for Biktarvy, you know,
yes.
Where those two guys kissing each other, you know.
That's the one.
It's your favorite ad.
I mean, I don't mind people being gay. Of course I don't. But do I have to watch that commercial?
Yes.
No, yep. I don't. Anyway,
it's a law.
The point is, my question to you is, if you were getting blood...
Mm-hmm.
Would you be less comfortable if you knew it came from a gay person?
Well, I asked that question today. It wasn't about the gay person. It was about the mRNA. Is it in the blood, the stuff from the shot?
From the vaccine?
Got? Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a whole different can of worms,
so to speak.
Yeah, it
still causes problems like turbo cancer, all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, because the thing was, the whole thing with the blood thing and, you know, AIDS and the HIV virus and all that stuff for years, since the 80s, has been transmission and the mystery behind all of that stuff. So my question to you again is, if someone said to you, okay, you can have, this blood is from a sworn heterosexual and this one's from a gay person, would you be less comfortable? Because I would. I'd be like, yeah, I'll go for the other
depends
one.
On how recently they had anal sex.
As long as the blood was clean, I'd be happy.
Right. I guess what I'm trying to say is, why do they go out of their way to make just this particular group of people eligible to give blood when they know there's going to be a degree of concern attached to it? You know?
I was asked what gender I was today, this woman who was doing the interview.
What did you tell them?
Well, I asked, I said, what do I look like? She looked at me, totally uncomfortable. I said, seriously, take a look at me. What do you think my gender is? And I said, you know, I have a masculine voice. I have a little beard. But what kind of a, what is my gender? And she would not answer.
She wouldn't. You see why? You know why? Because of what the world's become now.
I need you to tell me, she said. I need you to tell me. So I did.
She's a pro.
Yeah. So I'm listening to NPR today. I was driving down from New Hampshire, and I was listening to NPR, and I heard this whole entire show devoted to pickleball on NPR. And there's a group, has an organization called Pickleball is Life. Now, let me ask you guys. I've never played pickleball.
Hold on. Did they giggle?
Is it life?
No. Did they giggle when they were telling the story?
No, these were people, serious people. They had stats. Pickleball. You know, they had all, this is all pickleball information, and it's like, one lady just started at age 78, and she's played pickleball, and she's really good now. I mean, but why does NPR, why is the taxpayer money going toward a fucking hour of pickleball talk? Shouldn't that be a podcast?
You would
There's
think.
Probably a million of them.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to skip right over that story because I just, it makes me sick that NPR can do two things. They can take the taxpayer money and be so political, A, and B.
And use it against us.
You talk about shit that no one cares about. And there's some great shows on NPR, yep. Like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And, you know, guess what? The pickleball show, I was probably the only listener. Seriously. I have more.
More news with Mike.
And now more news after this. No. Barbie is the all-time Warner Brothers Studios biggest movie earner in the history of Warner Brothers.
Wow.
Barbie, okay? She doesn't even have genitalia.
That would be Bobby.
She doesn't. She has no nipples. I know. I checked every Barbie when I was a kid.
What about Ken? I haven't seen the movie. Is he anatomically correct, finally?
No, he's darkless. He's got no dinkus. Come on, it's Ken. They just put a little bump there. You know, it's like they can't do that.
Poor Barbie.
Barbie.
Poor Ken.
Yeah, true.
So in honor of that,
yeah,
I have a movie room, you know, with 47 seats and curtains and everything.
Yes.
I'm painting it pink. By the way, the champion before that from Warner Brothers was Harry Potter's. The movie has passed. Barbie has passed the $1.34 billion gross globally by Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
That's great.
It's news, though. It's newsworthy. Columbia Falls, Maine. Let me put in my narrative, my comforting Mason Adams narrative voice. You ready?
Go ahead, Mike.
Could I have some music, please?
Sure. What kind would you like?
Something soothing.
Okay.
Lobster boat engines rumble to life in the quiet coves. Lumberjacks trudge deep into the woods. Farmers tend expanses of wild blueberries. Maine's down east region is where the sunlight first kisses a United States soil each day. Where the vast wilderness and the oceans meet in one of the last places on the East Coast, unspoiled by development. What makes it striking is that it's the backdrop to one family's bold vision, a flagpole jutting upward from the woodlands toward the spacious skies. The tallest one ever. The tallest flagpole ever. Reaching higher than the Empire State Building. This is actually happening in Maine. By the way, where was the prior tallest flagpole ever? If it was up your ass, you'd know where it was.
Where was it, Mike?
It was in some theme park, Six Flags somewhere. Maine wants to have this taller than the Empire State Building flagpole. And all of a sudden, the kibosh was put on it by the townspeople. They said, well, we don't know. And they put a hold on the blueprints.
So what kind of flag was he going to fly?
It doesn't. We're probably American, but it's the fact that they wanted to do this, and they're all ready to do it, and they had blueprints and things. And the townspeople were like, you know what? We're not sure we want to have the taller.
It might be offensive to some people.
Yeah, anti-American people, commies and shit.
Fly the old glory out there, and then, you know, people get offended. It's
commies, terrorists, ISIS people would hate it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the people we hate so much.
Yep.
Anyway.
Fuck them.
The project flagpole. The project, the flagpole of Freedom Park. The population of the town is 485, and that's the place closest to where the pole would rise. Now, at my age, it doesn't matter where the pole rises. In the east, in the west, Sunset Boulevard. Where am I? What was that? Can you play that on the air?
I can, yes.
Let's hear it. Right. We got to hear that full blast. That's the greatest sound effect I've ever heard. It's like a bumblebee on acid. That's... All right, so never mind this flagpole story.
All right.
One of the neighbors said, it's like putting the Eiffel Tower in the Maine wilderness. It's exactly what it's like, except it's not the Eiffel Tower. It's a goddamn flagpole. Dink. All right, it's just in.
Oh, hold on.
It's a news flash.
Take it away, Mike.
I hope this is going to be on YouTube. Right, Ben?
Yeah, me too.
Providence, Rhode Island drivers are ranked the second most confrontational in the United States, according to the new Forbes Advisor. Their website conducted a survey of 10,000 licensed drivers between July 7th and August 3. They compared all 50 states in 9 different metrics. Want to hear the metrics?
Yeah.
Percentage of drivers who report that another driver has forced their car off the road. Percentage of drivers who report that another driver has exited their vehicle to yell at or fight with them. Percentage of drivers who report experiencing road rage very frequently from other drivers in their home state. Percentage of drivers who report another driver has tried to block their car from changing lanes. Percentage of drivers who report another driver's cut them off on purpose. Percentage of drivers who report that another driver has tailgated their car. Percentage of drivers report other drivers yelled at them, insulted them, cursed at them, or made threats. Or that another driver's honked at them in frustration. Or made rude or offensive gestures at them. That's me. I do that all the time.
That's amazing.
Rhode Island scored 98.46 out of 100.
Jeez.
10% of the drivers surveyed claiming they were forced off the road. 63 were blocked from changing lanes. I mean, they have all the percentages. This is a study they did, and it's actually useful. Now, what would you guess would be the number one state in America? It's not anywhere near New England.
Wow.
The number one most pissy state and rude state and, violent, dangerous state to drive in.
Illinois.
New York.
It's where Glenn Ordway lives.
Arizona,
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And, you know, I wonder if he's... Does he drive? Is he like that when he drives?
I don't know.
He's a pretty happy guy.
No, I suspect he's one of those slow...
It's like Will Noonan said that, you know, he likes everybody, gets along with everybody, till he gets behind the wheel.
Right. Different thing. I talked to Big O today. He's going to come on in September on the podcast. He's going to join us in a few weeks.
Excellent.
He's a good guy. I go way back. We go way back. You and I both go way back. And you go way back with him.
Yeah.
It's back as back far as a 30-something-year-old person can go.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
12 years. So what's the first most? Oh, I said Arizona. Okay, no. In New England, what's second? Who's second?
Connecticut?
Yes.
Yeah. They suck down there.
The old Connecticut drivers.
They had a 93.45 score. That's not good. Massachusetts was second in New England. Oh, I'm sorry.
And there's so many cops on the highways in Connecticut. You'd think they'd be better.
Yeah. You know what? Massachusetts was second in New England, it says here. 16th overall in the country.
Okay.
Well, an average score of 60. With a 6.5. Well, you know what? Massachusetts has neighborhoods where they're worse than in other places. You know, I don't think in Greenfield they're going to be as bad as they are in, say... Southie. By the way, Greenfield, they used to have the big billboard by the side of the road. It said, you drive by it on Route 91, head north, it says,
if you live
Greenfield.
Here, you...
No, it says, Greenfield, a great town. It's like, so who wrote that? Anyway, so that's New England did the order. Let's see. Vermont was 24th in the country. Maine was 25th. New Hampshire was 45th. And Massachusetts second, in New England 16th overall in the country.
But Arizona was number one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what they have guns, maybe, because they have guns. Everybody has guns. That's probably it. They have the gun rack, and they just stop the car. Instead of swearing and giving you the finger, they pull the gun out. They scare you off. Anybody here have any idea what the term equity means? Because I hear equity all the time on the news.
Yeah.
And I always am confused because I looked it up. I wanted to find out there's between equality, which is what we pledge in America.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's treated the same.
Yep.
Which is a really nice, simple rule of life, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, equity, I found this definition was the first one that came up, so you know that whoever put it up there is.
A lot of corporations have equity officers now in
equity.
Department of Equity, yeah.
I'll quote it here. The term equity refers to fairness and justice and is distinguished from equality. Whereas equality means providing the same to all, equity means recognizing that we do not all start from the same place and must acknowledge and make adjustments to imbalances. The process is ongoing, requiring us to identify and overcome intentional and unintentional barriers arising from bias or systemic structures.
Hmm.
Okay, so equity would mean that you're going to hire somebody for a job and you say, well, this guy just got out of prison. We feel bad. He needs this job.
This guy had a bad childhood. He robbed stores.
In the name of equity, let's give him the job piloting my aircraft. It doesn't make any sense. When it comes to job qualifications, largely, unless there's discrimination involved and everybody's equal in their abilities or resume, then you're going to want to take the person who's going to do the job the best, regardless of skin color, race, religion. You want the best person for the job. That doesn't matter if you're hiring a doctor or an airline pilot. You want people who are good at what they do.
That definition of equity sounds like anyone who's successful could be considered racist.
Well, equality is equality of opportunity. You know, everybody can interview for this job, but that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be the most qualified to do the job based on those other unimportant factors.
Mm.
It's just so the word keeps coming up, and they have the director. They bring somebody on NPR. Oh, here's the director of equity for the what is it? What is it?
It's called the leftist.
I just don't get it.
A Democrat.
I don't understand it, and I would like to try to define it further if you guys have any thoughts.
Mm. Well, I'm looking at Merriam-Webster,
the dictionary.
Go ahead. Can you read it to us, Ben?
It says, what to know with regarding to equity and equality. Equity refers to fairness or justice in the way people are treated, and especially freedom from bias or favoritism, as in governed according to the principle of equity. Equality refers to the quality or state of having the same rights and opportunities, as in women struggle for equality.
Okay, but did you hear what it says? Equity refers to blah, 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 according to the principle of equity.
I know. Well,
you can't use the word you're defining in the definition.
Stupid dictionary.
God. I don't like dictionary, and I didn't like his brother Bob Shinnery either. They were both assholes.
What about Bob?
He's an asshole.
Yeah. I thought it was a good movie.
I thought you. Oh yeah. What about Bob starring Richard Dreyfuss and Bill Murray.
Murray?
Yeah, he was. Bill Murray was so annoying in that movie.
And apparently, in real life, he was worse to Richard Dreyfuss.
Perfect. He must have not liked him. I have a question for you guys that are politically oriented out there. I just wanted to, because I, you know, we have a president named Joe Biden, and I was trying to find a list of things that he had done right in his Senate career.
Oh, good. Go ahead. Okay. What has he done?
Did you find? Can you think of something he's done right? All right. Let's go over some of the things we know he's done wrong. Okay.
Okay.
Because this is not a political shot at him. These are facts. Plagiarism.
What did he plagiarize?
Plagiarized that English guy's prime minister's speech,
yeah,
something
right.
almost word for word.
A couple of times.
Yeah. Lying about his college record publicly on tape. He talked about all the 3 degrees he had from one. He only had 1 degree, and he said he was at the top of his class in law school, and he was like 63rd out of 70. He's playing for sound effects. He voted to outlaw gay marriage in the 90s. Now, that's, again, that's...
He didn't just vote to outlaw it. He put his fist down on the table. He was pretty adamant about it.
He had a legacy on the crime bill, which a lot of people claimed overpacked the prisons and put a lot of people of color in a bad position. Mm-hmm. He had the Clarence Thomas hearings, where he was misogynistically treating Anita Hill, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He was best friends with former KKK wizard Strom Thurmond. He actually eulogized him at his funeral.
Yep.
And he was anti-school busing. A thing we had in Boston was a big fight. You know, basically taking people out of their neighborhood and putting them in other schools, which I'm for neighborhood schools. Let's make the schools better in each neighborhood rather than take the kids, put them on a bus, and then bring these kids over here. It just doesn't make any sense. But he was against school busing, and which is an unpopular thing from the Democratic point of view. I guess what I'm trying to get at it here is, and by the way, Mitch McConnell had another one of those.
Yeah,
those,
another moment.
Today.
He had another one.
He went silent for quite a while. Just
we've got to get not Nancy. Who's the one in California? Dianne Feinstein. Get her out. She's 92 and she can't think. Joe Biden's the same way, and Mitch McConnell's got to go. They've all got to go because they're past. They're not just past their prime.
They're past their expiration date.
They're past their depends date. You know, all three of them. And so that's my thoughts on that. And I don't want to get political on this podcast because it pisses people off.
It does.
But you know what? I'm making a lot of sense here. And I'm telling you the truth, and as I believe it to be. I still am waiting for someone to say what Joe Biden did right. And step up. I'll let you talk. What did he do right? Afghanistan?
Got himself elected vice president. And,
did he get himself elected?
Well, no, Obama got him elected vice president.
There you go.
Well, he didn't get a really elected
now,
vice
see,
president.
See, Ben's coming around now. He's going to be a moderate by the end of this podcast.
He got himself elected. No. No, that was Obama again.
By the way, Joe Biden voted for the Iraq War, too. All right, now, let me tell you what I think's wrong with this country.
What's wrong?
Too many out-of-wedlock babies and single moms.
Oh,
it's tough
Jesus.
For the single moms. And they do a hell of a job considering what they're up against. But you know what? There shouldn't be that many single moms. 40% of the babies born in the United States these right now are out of wedlock.
40%.
Now, in the black community, 70%. In the Hispanic community, 53%. Hmm. In the white community, 28%. In the Asian community, only 13%. But still, the overall number, 40%. Four out of 10 babies
Asians
born.
Asians
no,
always ruining the bell curve.
No daddy in the house. And you say, well, what are the stats on that? Well, when there's no daddy in the house, the kids drop out of school or commit crimes or they go to prison 47% more often.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fact. So what good are fathers? Well, at least they stop that from happening.
Yep.
You know, and you could be a bad father if you're home, and you're still better off than no father in the home, right? Unless you're beating on somebody, and that's obviously a whole different, that's a crime. But I think it's one of the biggest societal, and we see what's going on now. Kids attacking the Boston Police Department. Have you seen the videos on the internet?
Mm-hmm,
they're like, well, at the festival or the in front of a movie theater.
Yeah.
It's happening in every major city, and we've been pretty lucky in Boston not seeing a lot of it, but it just erupted last week.
In the old days, the cops would take their nightstick out and give you a knock on the head, and then that would be at the end of that, but not anymore.
Yeah. See, they got to not go for the head. They got to go for the nuts.
Yeah, they started taking out their gun and just shooting instead. That was part of the problem.
Look at the facts, Ben.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. But you know what? Again, it's not hitting in the head doesn't do anything. You got to hit the kid in the nuts.
That'd stop them cold.
Then there's impact, you know? Then it's a whole different world. When, you know, have you ever been kicked in the nuts?
Oh, once.
Oh,
it's
the worst.
It's a fight ender.
Makes you want to
don't
puke.
Want to fight after you've been kicked in the nuts. You, in fact, in most cases, you can't.
Yeah.
And then your stomach hurts really bad
after. Yeah, and you're on the ground. You know, you can't even move.
Can't breathe. You want to puke.
You're paralyzed. It's like getting the wind knocked out of you through the nuts. It's like a terrible, terrible
and then you
thing.
Realize there's blood in your sock. What?
So one guy, I got kicked in the nuts first, and then I bent over because I was kicked in the nuts, and he uppercutted me to the nose, broke my nose.
Oh. And so that was the seventh time you broke your nose.
No, that was like the third time. But I had to crawl home. I had busted nuts and busted nose, and I was bleeding. And I was like, and I was two blocks away from my house. I had to crawl home, and like I was a mess.
How old were you?
14.
That was the third time you broke your nose, and you were 14?
Yeah. It was a baseball. I was 12 the first one. So.
Oh, anyway. You sucked at it?
No, it was a catcher's mitt, and I didn't put it in front of the ball.
You didn't catch it?
You got to put it in front of the ball, mm-hmm. or the ball will cause some Dane Bramage. So anyway, I've said my piece. I don't know what else I can possibly say. I'm going to quit Lyft driving. I'm pissed at them. If anybody has a good job or wants to support this, this is going to be the biggest reality TV show in the history of either the Travel Network or some sports network. I got this thing. It's going to be big. And Smitty, I told you a little bit about this.
You did. Love playing with your new little drop machine, don't you?
I got the little thing there yet.
This is, well, it's episode 2 farty. You know, I knew he'd have a fart sound in there. You know, I know, because we've heard him on the show before.
Will you just quit Lyft already? You've been complaining about it all summer long.
I know, but it's never been about the money. But what am I going to do? I'll be bored. I'll be so bored.
I led you right into that.
Well, summer long?
Yeah.
What about it? And look at my shirt. I'm wearing my summery shirt.
Beautiful.
Is that all summer long a thing? You know, I think that song by Kid Rock, is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
I think he stole that, much in the fashion of
Pretty
the chiffons.
Pretty sure it's all original.
The chiffons took the chiffons tune, He's So Fine, was stolen by, allegedly, by George Harrison.
Yeah, they called it My Subconscious Plagiarism.
My Sweet Lord. There was a thing with Marvin Gaye tune and Alan
Thicke. Robin Thicke.
Yeah. These are things. You get accused and convicted of stealing someone's music.
Yeah.
I think that Kid Rock stole Warren Zevon's Werewolves of London.
No.
I think he did. It's Come the on. Same goddamn song.
I don't believe you.
That can't be true.
You know what? Let's settle this. Let's bring in Joe and Jerry and let's put them side by side. Do it. Yeah. Well, this will be the Kid Rock version of All Summer Long. Like a baseball season. Long. Are you ready, Troop?
Yes, I am, Joe.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and a man. Not sexually.
She was 17, Joe. She was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan. You ever been there?
Oh, yeah. Been there many times. Broadcast hundreds of Detroit Tigers games from there, Troop.
I never thought of it. Splashing through the sandbar, talking by the campfire, it's the simple things in life like when and where.
We didn't have no internet, but man, I never will forget the way the moonlight shined upon her hair.
On her head, right? We were trying different things. We were smoking funny things, Joe, making love out by the lake to our favorite song.
Sipping whiskey out of the bottle, not thinking about tomorrow. Singing Sweet Home Alabama all summer long. You go first. I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fook's. I'm gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Ow! Werewolves of London. Ow! You try it, Joe.
Ow! Werewolves of London. Ow!
Actually, you do that better than I do.
You hear him howling around your kitchen door. You better not let him in.
Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Ick. Werewolves of London again. Oh, no.
Ow-oo.
Werewolves of London. Ow-oo.
Ahoo!
Ahoo!
Ha!
I think he stole this song from Kid Rock.
I think Kid Rock stole it from Born Zevon, Joe.
Want to fight about it?
Go fuck yourself.
He's the hairy-handed gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately, he's been overheard in Mayfair.
You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. Huh, I'd like to meet his tailor.
Ow.
Werewolves of London.
Ow.
Like this joke. Ow. Werewolves of London. Ow.
You know, I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen doing the Werewolves of London.
Now, guess what? I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen. Doing the Werewolves of London too, Joe.
Well, I saw a werewolf troupe drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's, and his hair was perfect.
Yep. Ooh. Werewolves of London.